So we're going to start with three deep breaths, actually. So we're going to start with an inhale through the nose and an exhale through the mouth. And we're going to take two more of those together, taking a big inhale through your nose and a big exhale through your mouth. And as you're taking this last full breath, let your body find any movement or any stillness that feels intuitive, that feels natural, that feels like it wants to happen. And what we just did there was already take one giant leap towards heightening our intuitive abilities and our intuitive awareness. Because from what I found, the very cool thing about intuition is that it exists within us. We're born with it because it's associated and attached to our soul, which all of us have. And it's just a matter of calming the distractions and the other things that take our attention and take our awareness away from the knowing that already exists inside us. So we started to do that already just by taking three long deep breaths. And in this call, I want to get specific as well as stay with that general point of reassuring all of us that we all have our intuitive ability and that it's innate in everybody. But there are four tools that we can start using specifically to develop our intuitive awareness. And there are three kinds of intuitive knowing, which is different than awareness because it feels more certain, it feels more absolute. And it can come to us spontaneously if we ask the right kinds of questions. And at the end of the call, I'm going to share a 3-minute intuition fast track practice, something that I've used and that various people teach in different ways, that you can use anytime, anywhere to help boost your intuition. This all sounding okay to everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, cool. All right, so before I get into tools, I'm going to share three of my experiences with having intuitive experiences. These are the ones that started me off on starting to try and work consciously with my intuition rather than sort of accidentally. The first was a dream that involved this curly-haired woman who was super vivacious, and in this dream she offered me a job. And at the time, I was still an assistant magazine editor, and I was living this, what I found to be very, very unfulfilling, red carpet VIP lifestyle. Felt very empty to me, and I just daydreamed all the time of how I could get out of this place that I had worked so hard to get myself into. And I felt very stuck, and I had just had no idea where to go next or how to be of service in the world in the way that I wanted to. So I had this dream about this dark, curly-haired woman offering me a job. And then that week, I found a listing online for a health and wellness clinic, and I emailed them to say, I don't know why, but I just have this hunch. You know, I just felt sort of compelled to email you guys and say, can we meet? There might be something I can do for you in terms of work. So the woman who emailed me back said, yes, let's meet. That sounds fantastic. We're actually looking for somebody to do some communications for us. And when I met with her, we totally hit it off. She offered me the job. And, of course, she had really curly dark hair, was super vivacious, and provided me with my escape route. And was my first step down the path to where I am today, living my dream life. And then my second story of intuition saved my life I was about to cross the street. I was walking on one of the sidewalks here in my neighborhood in Vancouver, and I had planted one foot down on the road off the sidewalk and was about to lift the back foot up and plant it down beside the other one on the road. And for whatever reason, I paused. Not for whatever reason, for a very specific reason, I paused before I continued to walk because I had this image of this dark gray car flashed across my mind's eye. It wasn't physically in front of me, but it was in my head, and so I paused. And because I paused, that dark gray car that came careening around the corner didn't hit me. It was about like an inch or two away from my front foot that was on the road, but it didn't hit me because I wasn't standing there. Because for whatever reason, I had seen that image in my head. The last story, which I actually love the best, because it involved you, ladies, was around the time that we were all destined to meet in Phoenix. And I was having this terrible day working at a company that I did not want to be working at anymore, although I appreciated all of the benefits of being there and everything I had gotten from it at that point. It was a terrible day, and I won't get into too many details, but a prolonged angry outburst from my boss was involved. Tears were involved. I had left the office to pick something up, and I was, like, crying in the rain as I was walking to go and pick up the stuff for the office, and I was daydreaming about the day I wouldn't have to go through this experience anymore. And I looked up, and there was this gorgeous rainbow. And it was in an odd place. They're normally not in that place in downtown Vancouver. And I noticed it and kind of just thought to myself, there's something about that rainbow. It feels like a beautiful omen. And that weekend at our meet and greet, I don't know if you guys remember the Navajo medicine man. He's married to Pam Slim. Do you guys remember when he walked into the room?
Yes.
Yes?
I do, yeah.
So when I saw him walk in, I said, I got a strong physical sensation, a strong pull to go and talk to him. And I didn't know why, but I decided to trust it. It was, after all, like our magic weekend. So I said, well, what the heck, just go for it. So I went up to him, and I just started a random conversation. I said, I just felt called to come over and talk with you. And he said, okay, and we had this sort of small talk. Later that weekend, we ended up setting aside some time to meet one-on-one, and he said that he had been looking for the seventh person that he was destined to meet, who he would share this particular story with. And the evening that I had seen the rainbow in Vancouver, he had been out in the woods with a group doing a ceremony, and he had seen in his vision a rainbow that same night, and he knew that when he saw that rainbow, it was related to the person he was destined to meet that weekend in Phoenix, who had been the person that he had been waiting to meet. And he gave me this pink stone that his grandmother had given him, and shared with me what he was meant to share, and I guess I shared what I was meant to share. And I went away from that experience magically enriched. Months later, I was in my apartment, and I was seeing out of the corner of my eye these little puffs of white smoke, even though nothing was burning. I wasn't cooking anything. There were no fire alarms. There was nothing on fire. But I was seeing these little puffs of smoke. And later on that week, I talked to Daryl, who's the Navajo medicine man, and he said, without me bringing it up, he said, you know, I actually was having a bit of a rough time, so I decided to do this ceremonial blessing that involves smoking a pipe, and then each person who you bless, you send the puffs of smoke through the universe out to them. And he said, told me he had included me in that ceremony. And I asked him what day it was. And it had been the day that I had been seeing the puffs of smoke in my apartment. So needless to say, I started to really think that maybe these kinds of experiences were worth looking into, that there was probably a way to work consciously with them and be aware of this magic that exists in the world. And it was only when I started looking into them that I realized that these kinds of experiences are what they call intuitive experiences. They're also known as psychic experiences. The two terms tend to be used interchangeably. And what's amazing about it is so many people, since I've started paying attention to this, have had similar experiences. And they're not people who are out there as, you know, teachers of intuition or as spiritual guides or as anybody other than the average person walking down the street. And I believe and I'm convinced that that's because we're all born with this ability. And it's only a matter of learning how to tap into it and practice it. I've been doing that a lot lately since I had these experiences, and life has gotten so much more magical. That's really why I want to start sharing this with people, because I would love for everybody to live in a beautiful, magic-enhanced world where there's a lot of flow, and it's not that I don't have my crummy times. Carol can attest to how much she still coaches me. But without the magic, I don't know. Gosh, life would just seem so different. So I just really wanted to start to share this stuff, and I've got ways that we can all practice. So before I get into the four tools for developing the four categories of intuitive awareness, does anyone have anything, like, do you guys have anything you want to say? Anything you want to share about your own intuitive experiences? Any questions?
This is Bonnie, and I've been interested in this my entire life. Since I was a kid, I've been seeking. And I've always had dreams. I've had dreams that I've been able to create in the real world. But more so lately, I've been noticing a lot of magical things happening. And I was just telling Linda, I've been having health issues. And the more I've been slowing down, the more quiet I get, the more I'm noticing that things are happening. People are showing up. Everywhere I go, lately, I've had people who seem to be waiting for me to show up.
Oh, I love that.
If that makes any sense. And they're wonderful experiences, and in that interchange with those people, both of us are changed.
Yeah.
And it's been a real, real exciting and enlightening experience for me, and I just can't wait to dive in deeper. So I'm happy to be here, because it's just kind of reaffirming for me. I haven't had experiences quite as awesome as yours, Lindsay, but you have to get to a point, I think, where you're open enough to them and where they don't shock you so much, that, you know. So I think that's maybe why I'm where I'm at, is because my defenses are down and I'm just open to it, as it sounds that you are. So I'm really excited to learn what I can from you. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Bonnie. It's always nice. It's so nice to hear from someone else who's on board with it all, too. And like you were saying about the defenses being down, I think that's really so key. And finding the stillness and getting into a place of stillness in order to be able to tune in to the ebbs and flows and the music and the magic of the universe that can guide us. I think it's really big. Awesome. Okay, so I'm going to transition into, these may or may not be new to you guys, I don't know, but we'll dive in anyways. Four categories of intuitive awareness. I'm basing these on research and categorization by Dr. Frances Vaughn. She's a psychologist who's known for her work on intuition. She got into it because she was interested in integrating psychological and spiritual growth. which is very cool. It's always neat to see when science merges with the spiritual side of things. And so she breaks down intuitive experiences into four categories. Super easy to remember: physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. And it was her categories and her categorization that made me understand that the experiences that I had fit within them. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about each category and ways that I've used to strengthen those abilities and that awareness that can work for anybody. What I love about these tools is that they're instant. Like, you can start, anyone can start working with them today. I do believe that a continual practice of finding stillness and being able to tap into whatever it does, whatever works for you to tap into your soul is enormous. And then the more time we spend over time doing that, the more we live a magic, intuitive life. But these tools can be used right away. It doesn't take years of meditation or years of other spiritual practices in order to have them work in your life. So we're going to move on to developing intuitive awareness with tool number one to enhance physical intuitive awareness. And you guys are going to be able to do this one so easily if you haven't already, because the way I'm working with it and teaching it is based on Martha Beck's Body Compass tool. It's physical intuitive awareness is simply based on physical sensation. So it's that teaching that we all know that our bodies send us signals long before our mind ever catches on that something's happening, because of the nonverbal part of our brain processing all that information. Usually, most of us are more in line with being aware of physical signals that indicate that something is wrong. So, like, things like sweaty palms, increase in heart rate or blood pressure, tension in our stomach and our shoulders and our throat. A lot of us notice those, but we're not quite so adept at noticing unless we've practiced with something like a body compass tool or become more aware of our bodies in different ways. The opposite, when our physical intuitive awareness is telling us that something is totally right. So I want to invite you to just, even though you're totally familiar with Martha Beck's body compass tool, I want to invite you to sit from a place of beginner's mind. And if you have, you guys got a paper and a pen? We can do it without one if you don't have that.
Yep, I'm at that one. Set.
Okay, perfect. So let's create our intuition body compass. And let's start at that opposite spectrum. That spectrum of between a negative 8 and a negative 10. I'm going to do this in shorthand with you guys because you're so familiar with it. But if you draw that horizontal line and then you put on the left side negative 10, that negative 10 represents the times in your life when you really felt that something was wrong, especially if the rational, logical part of our minds was telling us that, no, it makes sense to go this route. But something in us knew it just didn't feel right, especially if other people in our lives were like, well, why wouldn't you, take that next step or do that next thing or sign up for that course or continue along this line in your career. It just made so much sense, but we knew that something felt wrong, or we walked into a parking lot one day and thought, I don't want to go here even though it's brightly lit. It just feels wrong. Do you guys have a certain instance or a time in your life that you can think of that came up? Just give me a yes or a no.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. So once you're there, And this will be the only tool that's not totally new, I think. But once you're there, just close your eyes and do that body scan that we're all familiar with now. And then jot down the physical sensations that come up. When you're remembering that time that you knew something felt wrong. Especially if, rationally speaking or according to other people, it seemed like it should be right. And then once you've got your physical sensations, just name them in a way that makes it super easy to remember what you felt. And then once you've got that name, can I get a couple people just to volunteer what the name of that group of sensations was?
A distrust.
A distrust. Thank you. Who else has got a name they want to share?
A body buzz. Like
a body buzz. I love it. Okay, so we're going to shake that off. We're going to take some big breaths in through the nose, out through the mouth. Wiggle your body in any way that feels natural and intuitive. Steady your gaze on something that is either uplifting or neutral, just to get yourself back to neutral. And then you're going to shift into the opposite, something that you would rank between a positive 8 and a positive 10 on the scale of knowing that something was very right. So even if other people said, no, I don't think that you should go there, or no, how is this thing going to be right for you? It doesn't make any sense. Or if your rational mind or your inner lizard said, I don't think that's okay, but part of us knew that something was right, and we didn't know why. That's where we want to go now. And once you've got that memory, then do a scan from top to toe. Notice the physical sensations that come up for you from your physical intuitive awareness that's telling you something about that scenario. And then jot that down on your paper. And then once you've got physical sensation notes, same thing, coming up with a name for this pole of your intuitive body compass. And let's get a couple of people to share this name once you've got it.
Happy Feet.
What was that one, Connie?
Happy Feet.
Happy Feet. I love that. Someone else want to volunteer theirs?
The rightness.
The rightness. Oh, cool. Cool. Okay. So we're going to do some fun exercises and sort of like fun little ways of playing with developing intuition. But this one, because I know you guys all know how to use the Body Compass tool, I'm not going to get too much into like the practicum of it, other than just to say like it's a good check-in, right? It's like it's my first check-in. Always, my physical intuitive awareness is always my first, if I want to consciously practice tapping into my intuitive awareness when I want to know whether or not I should do something, or even like when I'm on a coaching call. I'm not always bang on with this stuff, and I don't always even remember to use it, but it's always my first thing, like if I've got a hunch about a client. If I let myself for a moment sit with that hunch and then get my reaction in my body compass, using my intuitive body compass, then that helps to guide me towards whether or not I'm going to dive into that hunch or let it go, based on whether or not it comes up to closer to the positive 10 group of sensations or the negative 10 group of sensations. And then same thing for other things, like, what about this new opportunity that's come up? I didn't know that, you know, that wasn't in my plan. Is it right for me? I want to make a choice that's cosmically oriented, that's in alignment with my dharma and my soul. And my first step is always to go to physical intuition. Does that make sense? Making sense? Does anyone think they have anything they want to share, comment, question, say? Fine if you don't. That's totally fine. Okay. We're going to shift to emotional intuitive awareness. This one, I've simplified, because for most of us, like I'm sure a lot of us are aware who are on this call, emotional intuitive awareness can be very tricky. Unless we're like Buddhist monks or something who have spent years sitting and watching their emotions rather than getting caught in their emotions. So in order to use our emotions as a guide, we kind of tend to need to be able to distance ourselves from them, which most of us are just not practiced at. And it's tough. It can take a lot of practice. We kind of are like, we just kind of get fully caught up in them rather than being able to watch them like waves on our ocean. But the one thing that across the board is true for emotional intuitive awareness is that when something is right, when we're getting guidance from the universe that's in alignment with our soul, that's in alignment with our dharma, our purpose for being on this planet, that's cosmically oriented and universally supported, the emotions that come up are always ones along the line of contentment, a happiness it isn't this like euphoria, like that's like way out there, that feels like a big high. It's a deep happiness that feels very anchored. And the opposite to that, when we're considering something and we are thinking of doing something or feeling like we have to do something that isn't in alignment with our dharma or what's right for us or what our soul is encouraging us towards, is anger, frustration, sadness. Different than grief, but a sadness. So we can use this one just as simply as the body compass when we're considering whether or not an opportunity is right for us, whether or not we want to take on a certain coaching client, whether or not the hunch that we have or a direction that we are wondering about going with a client is going to be the right one. We can also shift into emotional intuitive awareness in order to help us guide our choices and consider whether or not the emotions that come up are more a peaceful, contented happiness, or more along the lines of attention, frustration, anger, sadness. This one is where we're going to do something fun. And this is tool number 3, and it's mental intuitive awareness. So it's really easy to start to work with, and it's in alignment with the car that I saw flashing through my mind's eye that didn't end up hitting me. It's starting to develop our mental image muscle. So we can consciously start to develop this and work with it in a way that will enable us to trust it when it comes up and notice it when it comes up when we might have otherwise ignored it. So I just want to invite you to think of something that feels concerning or is a little bit stressful, feels unsettled, and you'd like a resolution around it. And can you just let me know when you have that? You can just say got one or something.
Got one.
Okay, thank you. Rest of you ladies, have you got something that feels like you'd like to have some resolution around it?
Yes, I do.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome. Okay, so the trick is trust. I'm going to ask you to do something, and your trick is to trust what comes up. So can get yourself fully settled into that scenario that you'd like some resolution around or potentially some guidance on. You'd like it to be clearer. Let yourself sit with it. And then when I ask you this, really quickly, no longer thinking about that scenario and that situation, you're looking for the first person, place, or object that comes to mind when you drop out of that and you open your mind. Anyone want to share what came up?
Can you go over the exercise one more time, Lindsay?
Yep, for sure. Thank you. So all you're doing is kind of, you're in your sense of this this scenario or this situation, and you're remembering it, you're sitting with it, you're getting yourself focused on it, and you can actually use your physical body to help you. You can then clear your mind, close your eyes, imagine a blank slate. And then the very next thing that comes up into your mind's eye, after the blank slate, what would it be?
Okay, I got a really weird one.
What'd you get?
I just imagined a blank slate, like you said, and I got the word pumpkin.
Oh, I love it. Okay, awesome. So if you sit now with the word pumpkin, and what you've just got actually is an example of something we're going to get into before we wrap of clairaudience, which is hearing or seeing a written word, which is another kind of intuition. Connie, if you were to say pumpkins, if I were to say to you, what does pumpkin mean to you, what comes up?
October.
Okay. Is that in any way related, or does that have we gotten anywhere in terms of depth into insight into the scenario? Because we can always go further.
Actually, interestingly, yes. That's
okay.
Weird.
How so? Are you okay?
Well,
with
because
that?
Yeah, I was really content. You know, I'm kind of like you were before. I'm in the
contemplation with my job, and I'm trying to personal train, and I'm trying to coach, uh-huh. and I'm having a hard time knowing where to draw the line and when to pull away from one and push toward another. Mm. And so, interestingly, maybe it's October.
Interesting. Love it. It's so... Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, that's amazing. I think that my only intuition has always been like this weird pumpkin thing. I mean, I get hits of things that don't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then I try to tell people, and then they would really think I was crazy. I get really weird stuff. Like, it has no significance. That I'm glad to hear this, because I always think, why did I get it before it happened? But it's always something that's so insignificant seeming.
Mm-hmm.
Not that's like a funny. Car about to hit me, darn it. But you know, silly stuff.
Absolutely. And that's really what I started to notice in myself, too. I don't always get the explicit car, but we are getting symbols all the time. And it's just that we don't really know how to work with them or how to be aware that they are symbols and they are communication. Because the stuff that comes from our nonverbal brain and from our unconscious and our subconscious is symbolic. It doesn't come often in rational thinking. And so we haven't been taught how to interpret it or how to work with it. So what we just did there was a tiny little step towards that. And there's another way to help to interpret symbols that come in the terms of images or words that's related to how we learned to interpret dreams that I use to help interpret mental intuition, like you just did, like you just had. And we're gonna get into that like before we wrap.
I have a question, Lindsay, if I can.
Mm-hmm.
This is Tracy.
Hi, Tracy.
How do you? Hey. For me, I was thinking about a situation that I needed to resolve. That at this point looks like there's three possible outcomes, and the first image that came up for me, I question it because it's along the lines of what I would rather do. So how uh-huh. do you know to trust what comes up, whether it's just you want to do that particular thing or whether that's really the answer?
Mm. I started with very small decisions.
Uh-huh.
So, I started with which aisle in this bookstore is going to hold the gift that I want to buy for somebody. Do I go right or do I go left? Or can I get an image in my head of which direction I should take? And I trusted it on those tiny little things
uh-huh.
and started to practice it with that, and then began to be able to trust it when I was getting that instant communication like you're getting around this bigger thing that's along the lines of where you'd rather go. Because it usually is the first thing that comes in is very indicative. But if you're still in a place of, I don't know whether or not I can trust this, then you can fall back on your other tools. You can fall back on emotional intuitive awareness, sit with that choice that came up for you, that direction, that's the one that you really want to go in, and feel the emotional intuition awareness that comes up. Is it more along the lines of contentment, peaceful, happiness? Is it anger, sadness, frustration? And you can also sit with it using your physical intuitive awareness compass and what comes up with you, for you using that reading on that choice compared to the other ones.
Great. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Okay, so we're going to shift to spiritual intuitive awareness. And this is the fourth tool of the fourth kind of intuitive awareness. And this one's beautiful. I love this one because it's anything to do with spiritual intuitive awareness tends to have such a positive effect on our health and happiness. The practices that we do to develop this are just so much fun, and they feel so good. So spiritual intuitive awareness refers to things like mystical insights or experiences of unity or oneness, seeing beyond division and into connection. And they can be insights into the nature of the universe, an impression of or insight into someone's past or future, an idea of what's in store for someone down the line or what's in store for yourself. And the best way that I know of, and that many different intuition-related practices or practices that talk about intuition teach to connect to spiritual intuitive awareness, is through a conscious focusing on the area in our body that's known as our pineal gland and also is associated with our sixth chakra, which is the Ajna chakra. So whether or not chakras are part of your lingo or part of your vocabulary or how you are part of how you see the human body, it still can work to simply bring your awareness in a meditative way to the center of your head in that midpoint between the middle of your eyebrows. So it's like if you were to go right in the center between your two eyebrows and then go back into the middle of your head, that's where your pineal gland is. And it's known as the master gland because it has so many, it's responsible for so much of our ability to pick up on the nonverbal bits of information in the world. It's had a long, has a long, long history of being important in terms of human abilities and the higher human abilities. So one thing that we can do is simply close your eyes and get your awareness and your intention set onto the middle of your head, right behind the middle of your eyebrows. And in that space, you can envision the color indigo purple radiating there. And maybe it grows a little bit bigger as you inhale. And then as you exhale, maybe it starts to just soften and grow a little bit smaller again. Kind of radiates in and out with your breath. And it seems extremely simple, but it's, I've spent a lot of time because of the different yoga practices that I do with an awareness on this space long before I ever knew why I was doing it. I just knew it kind of felt good, and my teachers were telling me to. And now when I have intuitive experiences, I'll often have a physical sensation around that area of my head. And what I love about practicing, developing it, is that you can do it on the bus, you can do it when you're waiting at the doctor's, you can do it when you're sitting on your couch. It can be incorporated anywhere. It's known as your seat of your intuition, that space. And that's where a lot of people say that it's kind of like where the universe resides. Once we start to want to pick up on the communication from the universe. Does anyone have any kind of questions or comments? We're going to shift to the three kinds of intuitive knowing and then do some fun little exercises that will bring all of this together. But before I do, does anyone have anything they want to share or say or...
Lindsay, do you notice that you see a lot of blue when you are peaceful and focusing on that part of your mind?
Yeah, I do. I notice that if I'm doing a concentrated and a dedicated meditation around there, it for me was always one of the colors that I saw when I would look within through the third eye, we call it the third eye, that area of our body, with eyes closed, after I'd done any kind of yoga or meditative practice, with eyes closed, I would close my eyes and see what I could see, and I often would see a blue.
Well, I've just started noticing that over the last 3 months, and I didn't know any of this.
So
I just heard about this recently, but I thought, nah, it can't be. And it just has continued to pop up for me. So I just thought that was really interesting that you
mentioned
it. Yeah, well, it's so strange. You know, you don't expect affirmations. You really don't. So.
Right. Only
I'm happy.
Now you can.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. May I share something, too, with the blue story?
Yes, please.
I didn't know that either, really. And several years ago, I took a class. This is before, you know, it was Finding Your Calling. It was at a place I was. And she did this really long guided meditation. And, you know, I mean, it was like 20 minutes, so I really got into it.
Mm-hmm.
And at the very end of the meditation, she said, now this person's going to hand you a gift and open it up.
Mm-hmm.
And when I opened it, it was a bright blue orb.
Oh, and beautiful.
So then she took us out of the meditation, and everybody said, oh, I got this, I know why. And I said to her, well, I don't know what mine means. It's a blue orb. And she said, well, I think that might be your second chakra, which is your throat. And so I didn't know chakras, so I said, okay. Mm. So the next day, there's an art show at the place where I'm staying, and I walk by a booth, and it's nothing but blue orbs.
Oh, beautiful.
They're glass. And I have it to this day. I bought one. I said to the guy, oh, my God, what are those? You know, and it was exactly what I had seen in my meditation, and they were just paperweights.
Uh-huh.
It was
Did you buy one?
Oh, yeah. Well, I actually didn't buy one. My friend bought it for me. I had told her the story.
Oh,
I
lovely.
I was so thrown off by the whole display of all the blue orbs. I was like, oh, my God, what does this mean? And I didn't buy one, and she knew the story, so she wouldn't bought me one. So
oh.
I do have it.
Great. I love that. One of the things that we're going to close with is a way to interpret symbols like that are coming to you. That's so cool. Okay, we're going to shift, and these ones don't take, they're fairly quick and easy to define, to the three kinds of intuitive knowing. And I'm differentiating between intuitive awareness and intuitive knowing, because intuitive knowing, in my experience, is more of like a bang on, like, I know for sure. And awareness is like, oh, I kind of have an awareness that something's up, and it may take a little bit of interpretation or time or sitting with it in order to figure it out. So three kinds of intuitive knowing are clairvoyance, so clear knowing, seeing what will happen in the future. It can be very similar to mental intuitive awareness, where we're seeing images in our mind's eye. But this is sort of like bang on, we know something's going to happen, like when I saw the speeding car. Mm. And then clairsentience is clear feeling, and so many coaches are naturally clairsentience. And we don't even realize that we are. We just think, I feel a bit off. I don't know why I'm not feeling 100%, because we can feel what other people are feeling.
Lindsay, can you spell that word you just said?
Yes. Yeah, it's clairsen.
S as in Frank?
Yes. No, sorry. S as in Sam.
S.
E-N. T as in Tom. I. E-N as in Norm. C as in clarity. E. Clairsentience.
And say it one more time.
Yeah. Clairsentience.
Clairsentience. Okay.
So clear feeling. I had no idea this is what was going on with me for so much of my life. I just thought, man, I feel overwhelmed when I'm in big groups. And we just, a lot of coaches have this ability to feel what other people are feeling. And until we recognize that it's not our feeling, then it can be very confusing and hard to navigate. And then clairaudience is clear hearing, but we often see it written first. So like when Connie saw the word pumpkin, that's clairaudience. And they can all come up, and they can come up together, they can come up separately, and they tend to be sort of like more powerful ways of knowing. So I want to invite you to tap into your own intuitive awareness and your own clairvoyance, clairsentience, clairaudience, and just see if we can enter this exercise from a place of great trust, of great openness, of great faith in your own intuitive abilities. And the question that I'm going to propose to you, and maybe another one might resonate more that we do later on, but let's try this one. I'm going to propose a question, but before I do, I want you to very quickly notice, after I ask you the question, what image comes up, what do you see, or what do you read/hear? So whatever comes up for you, I want you to notice it and trust it. And the question is, what does the universe want me to do next to live my destiny? And can someone share what they saw, read, heard?
Can you ask the question one more time?
Yep. What does the universe want me to do next to live my destiny? What came up right away? Linda, did you get one?
Lindsay, I was muted, so here I am. I have the intuitive capacity of a slug.
Okay.
I've been listening and taking notes, and sometimes I get a hit about something, but I call it the buy toilet paper response, because it's telling me, you know, if I don't do it, then I come home and find that I don't have the item that is...
Okay, that doesn't sound too sluggish.
It helps me with my shopping.
Yes.
That's about as refined as I've managed to get it.
Okay. So did you get anything at all when you watched?
No, but you know what? And it's not your fault. So I have trouble with the universe.
Okay, good one. Good job.
That one, you know, if you're doing this for, you know, just say what your inner guidance or whatever, because universe to me is just, you know, meaningless woo-woo. So.
Awesome. Okay, good to know.
Thank you.
Could you rephrase the question?
Yeah.
Be yourself and ask it.
Could I? All right, ask someone else and I'll think
about
it.
Yeah, I will. Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure. Anyone else have anything come up?
Well, I did, but I always feel like I'm the only one talking, and of course, mine said speak.
Oh, my gosh, Connie. Really, did you see that or hear that word?
I just got it. I don't think... I kind of hear things more,
yeah.
or you know, I'm actually very aligned with Linda on the toilet paper thing, because I've actually had that same kind of, you know, mine, as I say, is usually fairly insignificant. I've had a few that were really stronger, but yeah, it said speak, so as you know, I'm always talking, so that might not be intuition, it may just be.
That was your, that's the challenge, to trust.
Mm-hmm.
Connie, don't you have a new telecourse you're pulling together?
I was pulling it together, but it flopped.
Oh.
Yeah, I have a whole lesson around that, so.
It wasn't the right time.
Exactly, and actually, you're so right. You're so right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, did anyone else get anything? Any images or words?
Yeah, this is Carol. I got a cloud with some sparkly rain coming down.
Oh, beautiful.
Not sure where we go from there, but that's what I saw. And I tend to see in pictures.
Yeah.
Get the metaphor.
So one of the ways that that I work with to interpret symbols, especially if I'm wanting to work with them in as a intuitive tool, and I'm not going to lead. If there was time, I would do some partner work, and if you were open to it, and do a little demo. But because we're getting close to needing to wrap up, I'll just explain it. We become the symbol, just like we do with the symbols in our dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And we say, I am the cloud with the sparkly rain coming out, and then describe ourselves in using three adjectives. And then we can have that conversation. What is your purpose? Why are you here? What are you trying to tell me? Or what are you trying to tell Carol? And that's one of the ways that I use to work with symbols that that don't instantly have a resonance or a meaning or something that I can interpret. So we can do it with all kinds of questions. If we're ever feeling uncertain about anything, or we want guidance in whatever way from our inner selves or universe, whichever terminology resonates more, because it's really more about tapping into your own intuition, so whatever term works. You can always ask the question, okay, I want to ask, you know, what would my inner self tell me to do next? Or in what way am I holding myself back here? And the first thing that comes up is what we practice trusting. And if we don't understand right away the meaning behind it, we can use that process of becoming the symbol and having the conversation and asking the questions. I'm going to close with the 3-minute intuition fast track, which is... Sorry, go ahead.
Start, Lindsay. You're kind of breaking up, so I wonder if the rest of us mute out, if that might help keep the line clear.
Oh, thanks. Good to know.
How do we mute? I forgot.
Star 6.
I think it's star 6. Okay, I hope that you can all hear me, because you're all muted now and you won't be able to tell me whether or not I'm clear. But I'll go on. I'm going to close with a short, the intuition fast track, which involves stimulating that area around our pineal gland. So, in closing, I want to invite you to close your eyes and take a really big breath, inhaling through your nose and exhaling through your mouth. And then we're going to take 2 more of those, a big inhale and a big exhale. And 1 more. And now on your inhales, you're going to keep that same breath going. But on your inhales, you're going to think the word so, S-O. And on your exhales, you're going to think the word hum, H-U-M. Inhaling so, hum. Inhaling so, and exhaling hum. And just keep going with that for a few more times. And then you can just pause that, and I'll explain. The so hum is a mantra that translates to, I am that, which sounds really confusing and like, what? But it's a way of recognizing our connection to our inner selves, our soul, our deeper selves, that we are all already incredibly knowing, incredibly seeing. We're very much connected to the ebbs and flows and the rhythms of the world and the universe that we exist in, the planet that we live on. And that mantra is a way to recognize and remind ourselves that we have the intuition and the knowledge inside us. And if at the same time we want to work in the meditating on the indigo, blue, purple in the very center of our head while we're doing the so hum, then that just boosts it up even more. So I want to close on that, but of course I would love to hear anyone's comments or questions, or if anyone has anything they want to Facebook me or email me. I'd love your feedback and your insight and anything you think would make it clearer or easier for people, or anything at all if you feel like you have anything you want to say or just share with the group.
This is Linda. I think you did an amazing, wonderful job, and it was very simple and clear and organized and, you know, not scary for anybody not familiar with these topics.
Oh, good.
A lovely, gentle presentation that it was just great.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you.
Cindy, this is Tracy. I just wanted to share something interesting that happened to me, and it came together while you were speaking. For a while now, I've been doing this pineal gland guided meditation. It's actually just music that stimulates that part of your brain. And
yeah.
I can't even, I mean, if you'd asked me before you started talking why I was doing it, the only answer I would have is, well, it got suggested to me and it feels good.
Wow.
So I've been doing that. But right before the phone call, I was actually watching the talk that Martha gave at O University a year or so ago.
Yeah.
And the very last thing she said before I paused it to get on this call was, the universe resides within you.
Oh, wow.
And when you talked about the pineal gland and then you said, well, it's where the universe resides, I was like, oh, my gosh. I mean, I just got this deepest, like, yep.
Yep. Hooray! I love it. The world is so magic.
It is. It really is.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that. That's so cool.
I guess I'm in the right place and you're teaching the right things to me.
I guess. I sort of think of it as like we're all tapped into this, we're all tapped into this overarching purpose. And when we start to take tiny steps towards opening ourselves to hear it, I get the call to teach intuition. You get the call to do this meditation, or somebody walking down the street says, I need to, you know, for some reason talk to this person, and that person has been looking for that other person, and it's just like the webs start to connect through opening ourselves to awareness of following our intuitive impulses, which taps us into this grand master plan of living our destiny and our dharma and helping other people do the same.
Uh-huh.
It's been very cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Lindsay, I'm remembering the very first coaching call that we ever had with Abigail. And we describe ourselves as a food, and I'm so glad Red Jello wanted to talk to Brad.
Me too. I'm so glad Brad was open to Red Jello. Oh, thank you.
So, Lindsay, so when you, what you just said about when small things happen, like I think for me, I don't get anything real big, but if it's something small, like you were just thinking of something and then it happens, or you just had something in your head that you were hearing, and then all of a sudden, and it's sometimes it's weird things that I hear, but then it comes into somebody either says it or I hear it. That's just a confirmation that, because I always think, well, why is it that I'm hearing that and not, you know, bigger things, or my awareness is not, maybe it's tuned in, or...
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's my hunches that... It probably is that your awareness is tuned in, but I think for a lot of us, the bigger things are so much harder to trust on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that resonates at all, but it's much easier to say, I heard this small thing and then it happened, or I saw this small thing and then it happened, and to see that and put the two together, rather than to be open to the fact that we may know what step we're supposed to take next. We may know that we're destined to speak out in the world and feel that there are other things from a lot of us from our social self side of the things that come in to sort of help downplay that. But it sounds to me like you're experiencing a lot of clairvoyance of knowing what's going to happen in the future and seeing things come up, which is not a skill that will be unavailable to you ever.
Mm.
If it's something big or small, it's the same skill.
Mm.
So I think it's probably a good time to close. And thank you so much for being such beautiful stars on my radar and continuing to be in the universe and meeting us all in every when.
This has been wonderful to hear y'all again.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lindsay. That was so much fun.
Awesome. Okay, thank you.